today on Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely.
We need to seek the Lord ourselves about this idea of focusing, because we need to know who it is God wants us to minister to. Who are we called? Who is He placed around us that we might be a light to them? How are we called to minister? We need to channel and focus just as they were supposed to channel and focus their efforts. We also need to do the same things. And He says in verse 7, as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
You've heard it said that your life should be a shining example to a lost world, a beacon of the hope that Jesus brings through salvation. But if you're not explicit about why you live the way you do, some people might not get the full picture. It's not enough to be a moral person. You need to open your mouth and tell people the way. Now make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information with you, as well as how you can receive a free copy of today's broadcast. Now open your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 10, verse 5, as we join Pastor Troy for part one of our message entitled, When Preaching, Use Words.
It says, these 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor copper in your money belts, nor bag for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor staffs, for a worker is worthy of his food. Now whatever city or town you enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and stay there till you go out. And when you go into a household, greet it. If the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whoever will not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Jesus' disciples are about to begin basic training. They're about to go and venture out and share the gospel. Now, up to this point, they've been walking with Jesus, learning from Him. Amazing teacher, does miracles, He's awesome. But He also has just said, you know, there's a lot of people out there. Pray for helpers. Obviously, the helpers were them. Those who are His followers. Those who've watched Him, those who've experienced His miracles, those who've seen Him. So He turns them now. He brings them in. He's teaching them and says, look, you got to help too. You need to reach out. You need to share the message. Jesus is now giving them instructions on their mission. This mission, it's a discourse, a long speech, a long teaching that Jesus gives to His disciples before they go out. Today, He basically gives the who, what, and where of the mission. And we will address some of the why, because there's a question for sure that comes up. Why? You know that Jesus hasn't called you and I, if you're a Christian today, if you're a follower of Jesus, He hasn't called us just to become moral people, live and die. Thank God I'm going to heaven. He's called you to be salt. In fact, He didn't call you to be salt. He said, you are the salt of the world. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. You don't light a lamp and cover it so that no one sees it. But you let it shine so that everyone sees it. Everyone can see its light. That's the intention of teaching you and instructing you, bringing you in and leaving you here rather than just taking you straight to heaven, to cause you to be more than just a life and an existence here, even if it's a moral one, but to be a light and a minister and a witness to the kingdom of heaven. Some of us live as though our light is covered on purpose. We don't want anyone to know. I mean, if they happen to find out, that's okay. But I'm not going to broadcast the fact that I'm a Christian. I don't want to flaunt it that I'm going to heaven. It's not flaunting. It's sharing with others their need of the same thing that you have. We're called to do that. And I think today's text, because Jesus is teaching his disciples about this mission they're going on, I think this text teaches us how we can begin removing the cover and letting our lights really shine the way that they're intended to shine in this world. So let's see, verse 5, he says, "These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, 'Do not go into the way of the Gentiles.'" Those are non-Jews, anyone who's a non-Jew. "Do not enter a city of the Samaritans." Those were the half-breeds. They had some Jewish blood, but they were already mixed and they were not fully Jewish. "But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." So what he's doing right here is he is limiting or focusing their ministry on a certain area. If you listen to what he's telling them, where they're located right now, up north are the Gentiles. Then there's Nazareth in the Galilee area. Below them is Samaria, and then there's more Jews down in Judea. So where they're located, he's saying, don't go north. Don't go up to the Gentiles. Don't go south. Don't go down to the Samaritans. Stay in this area. He's teaching them that we need to focus on this particular area, but he does get specific. He says, go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Go only to the Jews, is what he's saying. It sounds exclusive. You know, I thought the gospel was for everyone. And we're going to talk about why it is exclusive, because it is. He means for it to be. I mean, even Jesus himself, later on in Matthew 15, when he's walking around, a Canaanite woman comes to him crying out because her daughter is demon-possessed. And she says, heal my daughter. She reaches out to him. And he tells her, I am sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. And he goes on to say, it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it down to the dogs. And she replies, she says, yes, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And he said to her, woman, your faith is great. Let it be done for you as you desire. And he healed her. Crumbs. That's what that was. Those were just crumbs compared to the finished work that he came to do. See, this was a physical healing. A physical healing is fine, but if there's no redemption, if there's no forgiveness of sins, if there's no cross, death, and resurrection, which is to come, just a healing, that's just a crumb. Because Jesus didn't come just to heal us physically. He came to heal us spiritually, to give us eternal life. And so this was literally a crumb that fell from the table, because the full gospel was not complete yet. See, that's why Jesus isn't sending them to the Gentiles or anyone else, because he's sending them to the Jews, because this is a message only for the Jews. These disciples aren't going out with the message of the cross. It hasn't happened. They're not going out with the message that Jesus is risen, because that hasn't happened. Jesus is still with them. It is a Jewish message that he's taking and sending out. What is that message? Well, the Messiah, the promised Messiah that you Jews have been waiting for, is here. Let them know that. What is the message? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. I'm here. At this point, the reason Jesus is only sending them to and coming to, why he says, I'm only come to the lost house of Israel, lost sheep of Israel, is because the plan was this. The Messiah would come to them. They would expect him. They were supposed to receive him. And then as they received him, they, the Jews, would be gathered and they would spread the gospel. So he has to come to them first. This is point A of the plan. So he said, I've only come to the ones I've called who are going to be the sent out. And so he says, go just to the lost sheep in Israel. This was the time Jesus came. The Messiah is here. And what should have been a very good time, a prosperous time, a time of rejoicing in Israel, according to Isaiah 61, Israel knew that when the Messiah came, it would be a time of rejoicing. There would be miracles, just as he's speaking of and just as Jesus has produced. But it would also be a time where they became the light of the world that they were supposed to be. It would be set up. It was supposed to be a rejoicing time. But because they reject their Messiah, it doesn't turn out for Israel to be a time of rejoicing, but destruction. It should have been a time of rejoicing. And in Luke chapter 19, verses 41 through 44, we see Jesus coming into the city and he's about to be crucified. And he tells them, this should have been your time of rejoicing. But because you didn't receive me, you didn't know this was the time of your visitation, there's going to be destruction. The gospel will eventually go out to the entire world. We know that. You know, Jesus is going to give the Great Commission. It's after his resurrection that he says, finally, to the Jews who have become his disciples, go now, start in Jerusalem, then to Samaria, then to the uttermost parts of the world. It's going to everyone. But it wasn't until after the resurrection that the gospel, now that's the full gospel, that the full gospel was to go out beyond just the Jewish nation, because it was the Jewish nation who was to receive the Messiah. And that's the message here. That's the gospel. He's here. Look at the signs. Look at the miracles. And he even says that these are the miracles that will follow you to authenticate your message. Jesus even prepares the disciples, the Jewish disciples, for the fact that Gentiles will be included, because in John chapter 10, verse 16, he says to them, I have other sheep, not of this fold. I must bring them in also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. He's telling them, I know you guys are a flock, but there are more outside that are going to be welcome in. They'll listen to my voice too. And he's speaking of the Gentiles. So they are sent to a specific group of people, the Jews, because of the message that they carry. You know, we need to seek the Lord ourselves about this idea of focusing, because we need to know who it is God wants us to minister to. Who are we called? Who is he placed around us that we might be a light to them? How are we called to minister? We need to channel and focus just as they were supposed to channel and focus their efforts. We also need to do the same things. And he says in verse 7, as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor copper in your money belts, nor bag for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor staffs, for a worker is worthy of his food. So they are to go out and they are to preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Here's a specific message. Don't go with all your theologies and your ideas. Here's the message. Take that. It was a Jewish gospel, because they were the ones who were waiting for the kingdom of heaven. See, God had promised that through David, one of their kings, he would establish his kingdom. And it would be an everlasting kingdom. So they're waiting for this kingdom. And that's exactly what they're supposed to be preaching. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus is in the synagogue in his hometown of Nazareth. And he begins to teach them. He opens the scrolls, the scriptures, to Isaiah 61, the prophecy about the Messiah who's to come and how it's supposed to be a great time. And He says, the Lord has anointed me. This is what the scripture says that he read. The Lord has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal and to bring liberty to the captives, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And he goes on. And then he says to them, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. What he was telling them is, you know, this is a prophecy about the Messiah who's to come and what's supposed to take place. Here it is. And they weren't thrilled with that because he was kind of lifting himself. And Jesus would later say that a prophet is not without honor except in his own hometown. Sometimes those closest to you won't listen to you. It's just the way it is. So they were to go out and they were to preach the message that the Messiah was here. And it was a message for the nation of Israel. But they were to do more than just preach. They were also going to reach out, touch. It says, heal the sick, cleanse lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons, all without charging, by the way. Freely you receive, freely give. God blesses you. God is the one doing that work through you. So don't go and set up your little tent, charge money for entrances, and say, if you got $50, you can get your healing today. Don't go have a little fee-for-service chart and charge people. And here's why. Because those things aren't the ministry. Those signs that we talked about, they're not the ministry. The ministry is the gospel. Those signs, they were simply to authenticate, give authority or power to the message, to the messenger, to show that the message is true and has God's stamp of approval. In other words, the activity isn't the message. The activity supports the authority of the message. The message is still the main thing. In Luke chapter 10, after 70 are sent out, the disciples are growing. Jesus is still sending them out on little missions now, trying to prepare them. They come back rejoicing because they did do these miracles and they cast out demons. And they come back and they go, it's awesome. Even the demons are subject to our name. This is great ministry. And Jesus says to them, look, don't rejoice that the demons are subject to your name. Don't rejoice over those things. He said, rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven. That's the point. Your names are written in heaven. Keep that as the center. And that's what you need to go out and minister to the others, that they need to be written in heaven. But too often we make the signs the most important thing. Sometimes people are following signs. I want the emotional experience. I want these things that should be attached to it. Or the work. Let's just do the work. Don't say anything. Just do the work. It's all about the work. You know, there are some, they'll say, and I've even said this, and I've had to repent since I've been doing this study, but they say, I preach everywhere I go, and if necessary, I use words. Now, I've said that, and it sounds nice and deep, but as I've been studying and looking at the text, I realized it may be very deep. It may impress people. Go, wow, that's something else. But it's not theologically accurate. You see, it's always necessary to use words. Always. Jesus says here, preach this message. They need to get this message. Now, you and I, we cannot assume that just because you're a Christian, I'm a Christian, you got the shirt and everything, and you do some good works. You're at the service line handing out water. How are you doing? How are you? God bless you. God bless you. That is going to be enough, that someone is going to take this. Okay, Christian, handing out food. You know what? All of a sudden, I realized I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. Jesus Christ came from heaven, came down, died on the cross for my sins, rose again, is the right hand of the Father, and He is here for me. They're not going to get that. They need the message. We must speak. You can't assume that people are just going to get it because you're a Christian doing good things. There are lots of organizations doing good things. Some are doing it to spite you. They're doing it saying Christians aren't the only ones who have humanitarian efforts. Christians aren't the only ones who do good things. And the Christians are going, we're the only ones who do good things. I don't have to preach. I just have to let my light so shine. And they're not getting the message, guys. We're called to speak. The good works that we do, the life that we live, the things that we do, the miraculous signs that happen as a result, like a transformed heart is certainly a miraculous sign. Those things authenticate the message. If your life is a mess, there's no power in your gospel when you preach it. When you share the message and your life is a mess, no one really cares about that gospel. But when they see power, signs, your life is different. There's something about you. Your family's in order. Your finances. You went from a mess to this. How did you do it? You go, let me tell you. And that brings power and authority then to your message. But you must have a message. You can't just do the things. It's always necessary. And then he says to speak, to share. And then Jesus says in verse 9 and 10, provide neither gold nor silver nor copper in your money belts, nor bag for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor staffs, for a worker is worthy of his food. In other words, travel light. You're not going on a vacation. You see some, and they go on missionary trips, and they're like, are we going to go shopping? Are we going to do these things? Are we going to see some of the land? We're just going on a mission trip? We're just going to work? Look, Jesus is sending them into the world to be a light. This is work. We're going to find out. Like I said, it gets very serious in its tone. But he's saying, don't take extra shoes or clothing, because the last thing that you need to do is wake up each morning going, oh, should I wear the brown sandals today? Or the black sandals. I really want to represent the Lord well today. He says, don't do that. Don't bring that stuff. Don't let that be rattling around in your brain. Don't bring the extra cash, because you're not on a tourist trip. You're on a mission. So you're not going to stop at every little town and go in and buy the little trinkets to take back to all your family. He says, look, this is life. This is your life. So go light, travel light. Now, remember, he's teaching them to focus and depend. He's giving them some basic training for real life for the disciples. So don't go out and think that this now is the way that every minister should live. Don't take this and go, you go and you drop off your friend who's going on a missionary trip. You find out they have a backpack or a suitcase. Go, oh, not really trust in Jesus, huh? See, you're taking some stuff. I bet you got some granola in there, some extra foods. Worker's worthy of his wages. Trust the Lord. That's not what Jesus is saying. He's training them, teaching them to trust him. In fact, it won't always be like this. In Luke chapter 22, Jesus will say, speaking of this time, when I sent you out, did you lack anything? And the answer is no. We didn't lack anything. He says to them, but now, let him who has a money bag take it. And if you don't have a sword, buy one. And his message is this. Start taking provisions now. Start taking the things that you need. Take the protection and you go for it. And minister. But what he's doing here is he's teaching them to trust him. Some of us could use a little basic training when it comes to trust. Trusting God. We only trust him as far as I can see. I still have some savings. I've got some savings. You trust the Lord? Sure do. Got some savings.
Deeper and deeper. Deeper and deeper. Deeper and deeper. I want to know you more.
Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. You've been listening to Building on the Solid Rock, the teaching ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock in San Antonio, Texas. To learn more about our ministry, please visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you can download today's message or subscribe to our podcast, which is also available in the iTunes Store when you search for Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. If you'd like to contact us, our email address is info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. When you contact us, please let us know how today's broadcast has blessed you. Your feedback helps us know the Lord's direction for this ministry. Until next time, we'd like to say thank you for joining us, and please make plans to join us again, same time, same place, as we continue to study through God's Word. That's next time on Building on the Solid Rock.
Storms begin, but somehow I survive, and I wonder why. Wonder why. Then I look up and see the hand that I turned from when the storm began, and it covers me.